Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 29th of April, 2020. It's a Wednesday. I feel like I should be growing my hair out, but I cut my hair at the beginning of this, and I shaved my beard in the middle of this. I feel like I should look like a mountain man by now, as so many people based on social media do, but I've gone the opposite way. What are you going to do? All it took for me to clean up was just a little pandemic. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to it. And yeah, it's tough to tell what day of the week it is, but it doesn't matter. It's another day of the week. And it's a weekday, therefore, there's a new program to get to, and we shall get to it. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. Joe Biden losing his damn mind. I'm going to try and make this as little about coronavirus as possible, but it can't help but be in large part about coronavirus. But I do want to talk about Joe Biden losing his damn mind. Poor Joe Biden. Hillary finally endorsed. I love how they're making a big deal out of this stuff. Hillary, today, breaking news, Hillary Clinton has endorsed Joe Biden. What is she going to do? What else? What's her other option? There's one candidate left. Who else is she going to vote for? Who else is she going to support? You know what? Screw it. Trump. Let's go Trump. Or I'm going third party. I don't care who the greenies nominate. That's my candidate. Of course Hillary's going to go with Joe Biden. Like, oh, wow, breaking news. Elizabeth Warren has endorsed Joe Biden. Wow, you mean the Elizabeth Warren who is actively trying to position herself as a VP nominee? You mean the Elizabeth Warren who said that she would accept the VP nominee from Joe Biden? That Elizabeth Warren? Because it'd be really awkward if that Elizabeth Warren said, screw that guy. You know, I'm his vice presidential nominee, but screw that guy. Let me just tell you right now, Joe Biden, kid toucher, just a horrible guy. But if asked, I would be honored to serve. You're not going to hear that very often. Life is weird that way. So, yeah, it's amazing how Democrats circle the wagons around their nominee and support him. And we're supposed to stop the presses over that. What's amazing is all of these so-called feminists and believe all women types who say, yeah, Joe Biden's my guy. What's a little digit dropping amongst? Look, if you can't drop a digit on your staff, who can you drop it on? And somewhere in the corner, Huma Abedin is crying silently to herself. Yeah, so Hillary Clinton, raging hypocrite. We'll get to that. And I will just say, the video, the audio of Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden interacting, and they're doing it via video chat, which is you get two people up there in age video chatting. And even though they've both been doing it for a while, they have no freaking clue what's going on. They're caught between this. My staff told me I was going to be just to look at the camera. And I also hear a voice in my head. What's going on here? They have that weird confusion, but that faking it like they know what's going on and like they're fine with what's going on. In fact, well, for Hillary, she's a natural at this. That's been pretty much the state of her marriage. So we'll get to that. But they interact like robots, like early generation robots, not the ones that you see doing cartwheels and stuff like that. As always, you can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. I appreciate the messages and all of that. I enjoyed the interview yesterday. We're ahead of the curve. Just to dip into the coronavirus pool for a second in the preview here. because there's a whole bunch of pieces that came out yesterday about how, you know, the data doesn't really show that we should have locked down. Maybe it's time we reopen, and a whole bunch of doctors and everything coming out and saying it's time to reopen. So I hope you enjoyed the interview yesterday with our guest, Wilfred Riley. And check out his books, Hate Crime Hoax and Taboo, both of which are sitting on my desk, buried under a bunch of stuff right now. But excellent, excellent books. So before we get to any of the things I've previewed and whatever else comes up between then and now, it's Hump Day. That is the day we play our pre-recorded interview with Ronnie McMullen, who is the proprietor of our sponsors. So we thank him, we love him, and here you go. All right, joining me now on the phone is the proprietor of AncientLifeOil.com, where I get all of my CBD oil that I take every day and really helps me with those aches and pains, and it helps me sleep a lot. It's Ronnie McMullen. How are you doing, Ronnie?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Derek?
I am doing wonderfully, and I'm sleeping better, and I just feel so much better thanks to the CBD oil there that you have there. Tell us about what goes on in CBD oil, because you can't go into any convenience store or gas station or grocery store anymore without somebody selling CBD oil on the counter, behind the counter. There's a huge difference in quality and effect.
Well, huge. When you're talking about quality and effect, you're absolutely right. Because if you get the gas station brand, and I'm not trying to dog my competitors because that's not a great way to go. But on the same token, if it's not the good stuff, then it's not going to work. So then you're going to be one of those people say, yeah, I tried CBD. It doesn't work. No, it really works. It works for inflammation. It works for anxiety. It works for all kinds of good stuff. They're finding so many clinical trials are being run right now. Pharmaceuticals are running with it. So it's really awesome. But here's where I want to go. If you want the good stuff, if you want the Ferrari, the Ancient Life Oil, okay, you go to AncientLifeOil.com and know that I just lowered my prices between 15 and 25%, and it's going to stay that way. And if you go to subscriptions, you can get even more money off if you just get it every month, because some people need this every month just for their body to hang out and be groovy. So AncientLifeOil.com and 15 to 25% off everything, and it's going to stay that way.
You try it once and you'll be a convert. Trust me on that. They got me. Ronnie McMullen, if you enter promo code Derek at checkout, you get free shipping on top of it all. You're doing the Lord's work out there. I want to thank you.
No, it's wonderful because I always have happy customers.
Don't forget to enter promo code Derek at checkout and click apply for free shipping on top of great savings.
There you have it, and I do take the CBD oil. I still haven't thrown away the empty bottle of my chocolate mint, but I have my cinnamon bottle sitting there, staring at me, learning yearningly. All right, let's get into the news, shall we? Start off with the deteriorating state of Joe Biden's brain. It is it's sad, really. Not really. The more I hear about Joe Biden and the more he refuses to comment on the Tara Reid allegations, the more I suspect he's a dirty old pervert. Let's be honest. If somebody accused you of something, sexual harassment, sexual assault, something you did not do, do you sit silently as proxies handle it for you while you're doing everything you can to, in your basement, running for president of the United States? You do nothing but talk. He's not tweeting, but they'd say, all right, Joe, wake up. We're putting you on camera for this event or that event. And okay, and he reads the teleprompter and goes on. If somebody, you know that you've got this floating around about you and you did not do it, would you not run to the nearest bank of microphones and absolutely tell anybody with an ear on the side of their head that you did not do this? Wouldn't you? I sure as hell would. I did not do this. This is insane. Every chance I got, I would want to take this on nonstop. This is garbage. I don't remember this person because why would I remember a junior staffer from, you know, 20, 30 years ago? Why would I, 20 years ago, I guess. Why would I remember that? I don't remember this person. I guess it's 28 years ago, almost 30 years ago. I don't remember this.
Why would I remember that? And no, I did not. I would never do that. You can go ahead. I encourage you to talk to anybody and everybody that you can possibly come around, and they will back me up on this, because this is not something I would ever do. Instead, he's not. He is silent. He has never personally addressed this. He's never been asked about it. But not being asked about it doesn't stop you from talking about it. As we know with politicians, it doesn't matter what they're asked. They're going to say whatever it is they want to say. Joe Biden is hoping to God this goes away. Joe Biden is hoping against hope that nobody ever brings this up. And he might get that if he sticks to doing MSNBC and CNN. Although sooner or later you would think that one of the employees at one of those networks would just have to go. It would be phrased like this. When he is eventually asked, if he's ever eventually asked, I suspect Joe Biden will get a question that is framed something like this. Mr. Vice President, I hesitate to even bring this up, but conservatives are going absolutely crazy over this, and so I just want to get you on the record, one way or the other, about the allegations against you that you sexually assaulted a junior staffer back in 1993. They probably won't even mention her name. They'll just refer to her as a staffer. And it will be all couched in the, "Aw, shucks, man, I don't really want to do this, but I gotta do this. You know, can you just say you didn't do it and we can move on to another question?" That's how it will be, and Joe will be stunned. He will feign indignance. God, how dare, you know, that Republicans would sink so low as to try to sully my good reputation as a God-fearing man and as a public servant and blah, 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 blah. And that will be the end of it. Other journalists won't bother to bring it up because Joe Biden brought it up. Joe Biden answered the question. Maybe they'll talk about it. And Joe Biden finally refuted critics today. Blah, blah, blah. They won't say finally, but that's how it'll be. One of them will just go, "Oh, shucks, will you please just say that you didn't, you know, drop digits on Tara Reid? Okay, come on. Can we agree to that? All right, moving on." But I've made the case as to why I think it's believable. It's plausible. I don't know that he did it or not, but I know that his actions and his behavior is certainly not that of someone who didn't do it. Innocent people tend to proclaim their innocence. Maybe if you're facing felony charges, your lawyer will tell you to shut up, don't say anything, because if you go out there to a bunch of reporters and start asking questions, you're just going to open up a can of worms. You never know where it's going to go. Don't worry about it. We're dealing with this in the courts. But Joe Biden is not criminally charged with anything. Joe Biden is not facing a court date. Joe Biden likely will never face a court date, nor will he ever be criminally charged with anything. He's running for president of the United States, and if he can't bring himself to answer charges or refute them without even being asked, then he's hoping they go away. It worked for 3 weeks. Now that Tara Reid's mother's phone call has come out, now that Tara Reid's former neighbor has come out and said, "Yeah, she told me about this back in the mid-90s. And that other people have come out and said, "Yes, she told me about this at the time." It is growing, not quickly, because the mainstream media is running as much blocker as any offensive lineman you could ever possibly imagine. But sooner or later, he's got to be asked about, he's got to be confronted. Some point, there's going to be an unscripted moment, and that they haven't addressed it so far, except in written statements, tells me that the Biden campaign is wholly unprepared. Actually, not the campaign, but they don't seem to be ready to go either. But Biden himself is wholly unprepared for that eventuality, for an unscripted moment. How pathetic is the media? Has the media gotten on this Tara Reid allegations? After Tara Reid's mother's phone call to Larry King Live came out and showed that there was something. She told her mother something back in 1993. Another neighbor has come out and told their story. This from the Business Insider. Quote, in March, when a former aide to Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden accused the candidate of sexually assaulting her in 1993, two people came forward to say the woman, Tara Reid, had told them of the incident shortly after it allegedly occurred. Her brother, Colin Moulton, and a friend who asked to remain anonymous for fear of retribution. Why? Because Democrats are evil, vindictive people who will hunt you down till the day you die and the day your family dies off, your bloodline ends, if you cross them. Mention Ronald Reagan to any committed progressive and watch how physically angry they get that he ever existed. Now, the insider continues, two more sources have come forward to corroborate certain details about Reid's claims. One of them, a former neighbor of Reid's, told the insider for the first time on the record that Reid disclosed details about the alleged assault to her in the mid-1990s. Whoa, what's going on here? Again, this is the most elaborate long con in all of history, or there's something worth looking into. Quote, this happened. I know it did because I remember talking about it. Linda Lacasse, who lived next door to Reid in the mid-90s, told the insider. The other source, Lorraine Sanchez, who worked with Reid in the office of a California state senator in the mid-90s, told Insider that she recalled Reid complaining at the time that her former boss in Washington, D.C. had sexually harassed her. What's going on? It's so weird. Now, if we had enterprising journalists on this story or in this country, they would be assigned to this story. The New York Times, the Washington Post would assign a team of reporters to investigate this. Instead, the New York Times story was about the denial official statement released by the Biden campaign and sort of a dismissal of what Reid said. Not a complete straight up dismissal. It is, she said this, whatever. But you know how crazy broads are. The Times story was, in fact, and I covered it on this show at the time, was edited at the behest of the Biden campaign. It removed references to his history of making women uncomfortable with touching, sniffing, and kissing. Kissing the neck, kissing the ear, kissing the lips. Whole bunch of women came out last year, I guess it was 2 years ago now, and said, yeah, Joe made me really, really uncomfortable. He's handsy and rubbing my shoulders and stuff. It just should not have happened. And there's video of this, too. If it weren't at the moments that he were doing at these public events, I assume a lot of these women would have bitch slapped Joe. Because you just don't, I mean, where are the husbands? I'd sort of tell him to knock it the F off just because I wouldn't want to punch him to them. I'd be afraid I'd break his hip. But I wouldn't let somebody touch my wife like that. Yet there he is on camera at the swearing in ceremony. He's going, hey. Is that Prell? That's not suave, is it? Why, that smells divine. Sniffing, burying his face in women's hair, in their ears. He's like one step away from those creeps who rub up against women in the subway. And he's a former vice president. You would think this would be of interest to the Democratic media. It is not. Instead, the New York Times edits their piece, saying, is this more acceptable to you, Mr. Vice President? Thank you very much. The Washington Post was worse. The Washington Post's story on Tara Reid was half about Donald Trump. Literally, go find it. Go look it up. Go read it. It is half about Donald Trump. What Donald Trump has to do with what Joe Biden is alleged to have done back in 1993 will forever remain a mystery. But in newsrooms across the country, well, if you're going to report something bad about Joe Biden, you've got to report something bad about Donald Trump as well. See, the president had this rule in place that if you want to write a new regulation, you had to repeal two old regulations. That seems to be the ratio for reporting on Joe Biden. Anything you say about Joe Biden that is negative in any way, shape, or form, you're going to have to go and find something. You're going to have to throw in something negative about Donald Trump, preferably two times the thing. CNN, which finally got around to reporting on Tara Reid, their only story on Tara Reid was about how Democrats are dealing with the allegations against Joe Biden. I shit you not. That was their story. That was their framing. That was, if you just gotten your information from CNN and nowhere else, you wouldn't really, you'd go, what is this story about? Why are you doing a story about the reaction of political party members to a sexual assault allegation? Where's your story about the sexual assault allegations? They didn't write one. They didn't write one. To this day, I don't think they've written one. But now more and more people have come forward. And evidence, that phone call to the Larry King show in 1993, huge, big deal. That is significantly more than even to this day there ever was against Brett Kavanaugh. And yet every female Democratic senator at the time said breathlessly into the microphones, oh, we must stop Brett Kavanaugh from being nominated to the Supreme Court. It is so wrong. Women don't lie about this. Believe all women. Believe all women. Well, not all women, it turns out. Democrats have a sliding scale for standards. Kirsten Gillibrand, she ran for president. It was hilarious. She was one of the first people out. She was a horrible candidate, just an awful person, massive hypocrite. She was asked about it, finally, by a mainstream media outlet. I will point out that the Daily Caller did contact every Democratic Senate office that there is in Washington, D.C. for comment on Tara Reid, and none had anything to say. Now that it was in a conference call, Kirsten Gillibrand said, quote, I stand by Vice President Biden. He devoted his life to supporting women and has vehemently denied this allegation. End quote. Oh, well, there you go. He vehemently denied it. Whereas Brett Kavanaugh was ambiguous about his denial. Was Brett Kavanaugh up there saying, well, you know, I don't know. I could have done it. Who knows? I was drunk a lot of that time. No, Brett Kavanaugh vehemently denied it. And Brett Kavanaugh had the cover of the fact that from the fact that he'd never met Blasé Ford. Never. There was no human beings who have ever suggested the two of them have met except for her. That's it. Period. Not even her best friend at the time ever said that they met. She couldn't remember any sort of instant where they ever met. But hey, you know what? Tara Reid worked for Joe Biden. They worked in the same office. They spent time together. There was ample opportunity for this to have happened. And Kirsten Gillibrand says, nope, I believe all women, just not this bitch. Why? Because Kirsten Gillibrand is a raging hypocritical fraud who deserves bad things to happen to her, and she will deserve every single one of those bad things. And every Democrat who goes along with this deserves exactly the same damn thing. Here's how the Washington Post, by the way, I told you the latest allegations, you know, the new neighbor and the mother. Washington Post headline. See if you can make sense of this headline, just as an attempt to communicate in English with other human beings. Washington Post headline, quote, Trump allies highlight new claims regarding allegations against Biden. What does that mean? Honestly, take a second and think about it. Trump allies highlight new claims regarding allegations against Joe Biden. What allegations? Why does it have anything to do with, why isn't there a story about the allegations themselves? Why isn't there a story about the corroboration of the allegations themselves? Why is it Republicans pounce on this new evidence that's not even evidence mentioned in there? This is a world-class spin job. Toilets don't work this hard to spin. Matt Visser should be embarrassed, but he won't. He'll probably be rewarded for this. He writes, some allies of President Trump pointed Monday to a new claim by a woman who said she was told about sexual assault allegations against Joe Biden decades ago, renewing attention to questions about the past behavior of the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. Now, you know, they say renewing. It's renewing those questions. Why do you need to renew something that is ongoing? Well, you need to renew something that is ongoing because if you're a part of the Washington Post establishment, this issue was put to bed. You wrote a story about it. Yeah, the story was half about Donald Trump, but that's beside the point. It was over with. Those first garbage stories were written not to inform the reader. They were written as cover. They were written as cover so when Washington Post and New York Times journalists were ever, should they ever find themselves with somebody with the, you know, their camera phone out, if they were ever confronted, why aren't you covering this story? Why didn't you write about this? They can say, we covered that story. We have a story on that. That was all we found. We looked. We couldn't find anything more. Moving on. Of course, a neighbor that Tara Reid told should not be that hard to track down. The freaking Business Insider did it. The Business Insider has, what, one millionth the resources of the Washington Post and the New York Times? You're telling me that they couldn't have tracked down that person? They couldn't have talked to former coworkers? No. What they did was the absolute bare minimum. The quotes in the New York Times story by former Biden staffers were provided to them by the Biden campaign. That is basically, that is shoddy journalism at best. That is saying, here you go, run with these. They probably didn't call to follow up. They probably didn't call to bother to check because it's Joe Biden. He wouldn't do this. What's the big deal? I don't understand what the problem is. And now, as more people have come forward with corroborating evidence, that's Republicans pounce. Republicans are pouncing on this. Republicans are trying to exploit this. Well, Tara Reid is still and has always been a Democrat in good standing. Well, not in such good standing anymore. But she has always been a Democrat her whole life. She supported Bernie Sanders this time. As you can imagine why, being a lifelong Democrat, she's probably a little bit policy-wise nuts, and Bernie appeals to her. But also, if the choice is between Bernie Sanders, a guy who maybe you think is crazy, and a guy who fingerly raped you in the hallways of Congress, which one do you think you're going to vote for? Which one do you think you're going to support of those two? Of course, you're probably not going to be a big fan of the guy who shoved his hands up your skirt and down your underwear and into your body. So they got nothing. This is, you know, this is somebody with no vested interest in harming Joe Biden. Politically, she's aligned with Joe Biden. But she's, I assume, disgusted by Joe Biden as well. And that could be why she's come out. There is no deep thought exploration of this in the Washington Post or the New York Times. They are not interested in this story. They couch it as Republicans pounce. And Donald Trump has also been accused of a lot of things. Well, one thing the Washington Post and the New York Times will not be accused of anytime soon is conducting anything that slightly resembles journalism. By the way, Joe Biden has his papers, you know, from Senate. He was in the Senate for 30, 40 years, whatever the hell it was. And he was vice president for 8 years. Politicians amass papers. It's all their communications. It's all their internal memos and everything. They archive them. By law, they have to, the Congressional Records Act, and they get control over them. Joe Biden's papers are sitting at the University of Delaware. If Tara Reid filed a complaint, or if anybody else filed a complaint against Joe Biden while he was in the United States Senate, there's a good possibility, provided they weren't destroyed, that they are in there. Now, these papers are voluminous, so it's not all that, you know, it wouldn't be all that rare that some stuff like this would sneak in, especially it, you know, this happened in 1993, allegedly, and Joe Biden left the Senate in 2008. So it probably wouldn't even think about it in that amount of time. Well, the Daily Caller contacted the University of Delaware. And Mary Margaret Olahan writes, "The University of Delaware refused Tuesday to provide the Daily Caller News Foundation with an agreement detailing why the university cannot release 2020 presidential candidate Joe Biden's Senate records." Why? Why? They're going after every tax return Donald Trump ever filed. Why would they hide Joe Biden's Senate papers? Well, in theirs, who he met with and what they met about and how many times they met with. And that probably wouldn't look too favorably on good old Sniffy Joe. As Biden faces increased scrutiny for allegations of sexual assault made against him by Tara Reid, pressure is mounting for the former vice president to unseal documents related to his time in the Senate, during which period Reid alleges that Biden kissed her, touched her, and penetrated her with his fingers without her consent. These Senate documents are housed by the University of Delaware Library and cover a wide swath of Biden's political career, but are being kept secret until he, quote, retires from public life, spokeswoman Andrea Boyle Tiplett told the Washington Post in July of 2019. Tiplett told the Daily Caller News Foundation on Tuesday that the University of Delaware would not share the terms of the agreement between the university and Biden, detailing why the Senate records may not be released. Quote, "The gift arrangement signed when the papers were donated is not a public document. Go F yourself. We're not telling you anything." Now, it's kind of funny. There are 1,875 boxes and 415 gigabytes of electronic records, according to the Washington Post. That is a ton of information. Why would Joe Biden want that hidden until 2 years after he leaves public life? At his rate, if he wins the presidency and then runs again, his public life will be that, you know, end when he dies. So 2 years after his death, why would anybody want their public records sealed like that? Well, let me regale you with a story, ladies and gentlemen, sort of related to this and the different treatment that we get. There was a guy called Jack Ryan, not the character created by Tom Clancy of the Amazon series, but a guy who was a rich Wall Street guy. He'd gone and made a fortune in bond or stock trading or whatever it was. And then he moved back to Chicago and he became a teacher. He'd made his money and he was content and happy. He wanted to make a difference in kids' lives. He became a teacher. Then he got involved in politics. Then he decided to run for the United States Senate from the state of Illinois. Well, he was running as a Republican. He's a very popular guy, compelling guy, charismatic, good-looking, the stuff of storybooks. But he was running against a guy who had those same characteristics as well. His name was Barack Obama. Now, Jack Ryan was married at one point. I don't know if he was married at the time, but he had been divorced. He was married to an actress named Jeri Ryan. You may remember her. She's a very good-looking woman. She played Seven of Nine on Star Trek Voyager. They had divorced a few years earlier, moved on, settled whatever their differences were, and is often the case because people do not want their personal business flouted and thrown about in the media. Their divorce records were sealed. Well, the Democratic machine in Illinois was fully behind Barack Obama and led by David Axelrod, a former journalist. He got the newspapers there in Chicago to sue to unseal the divorce records of a guy running for Senate as a Republican. Now, what on God's green earth would be the justification for unsealing divorce records of a candidate for anything. Divorce records years before, not as though they're in the moment. No one was accusing anybody of criminal activity. There's no tax issue. There's no genuine public interest in getting into those divorce records. But because it's Illinois and because it's a Democrat-controlled state, they managed to pry this family's private moments that they were wanting to hide from their children out into the public. They won the case, miraculously. And the divorce records were unsealed, and they detailed swingers clubs and things like that. Had no bearing on the case, but Jack Ryan was mortified, as you might imagine, and dropped out of the race. Then Alan Keyes came in and promptly got beaten to a bloody pulp by Barack Obama, setting everything in motion to put that piece of garbage in the White House. Why is it that there are no journalistic entities with the resources, like the Sun-Times and the Chicago Tribune, pursuing legal action to get Joe Biden's public records unsealed? The New York Times, the Washington Post, they seemingly have no interest in this. The Washington Post is the play toy of Jeff Bezos, the richest man perhaps in the history of human existence. He could throw $1 billion at a lawsuit against the University of Delaware to get Joe Biden's public records unsealed and not even notice that the $1 billion was missing. He would have probably earned back $1 billion in net worth by the time the credit card he so casually flung at the lawyers hit the desk. They aren't doing it. They aren't interested in it. Now, if Joe Biden has nothing to hide, again, I ask, why is Joe Biden hiding something then? Joe, innocent people, this is what the Democrats always like to fling at Republicans. Innocent people don't hide things. People with nothing to hide don't hide things. Joe Biden should welcome this scrutiny. Joe Biden should be open to this. If he's proud of his Senate service and everything that he did while in there, and it was on the up and up, he should be fine with this. All he has to do is wave a magic wand. In fact, Joe Biden is the only human being on the planet with the authority to waive this agreement. But he won't. Of course, he hasn't been asked about it, but he won't. You remember Elizabeth Warren, that annoying harpy, when she was running for president? She absolutely demanded that Michael Bloomberg release all non-disclosure agreements that his company had with any woman who claimed sexual harassment or discrimination based on gender at any point in his company, whether Bloomberg was involved in it or not. The public had a right to know. Will Elizabeth Warren, who is on the short list for vice presidential pick for Joe Biden, hold that same standard for her party's standard bearer? We know the answer to that. It's just a rhetorical question. But it's interesting. It's interesting to note, so that when you learn about Joe Biden and when you hear stories about these allegations and the denials by Joe Biden or his campaign, note that Joe Biden hasn't denied anything. Note that Joe Biden has the ability to clear all of this up, or at least attempt to. He could release his papers. He won't do it. He has to be asked about it, of course, but maybe he will be. So when NBC News correspondent Mike Mimoli was the one who tweeted out what Kirsten Gillibrand said, that Vice President Biden, I stand by Vice President Biden. He's devoted his life to supporting women, and he's vehemently denied this allegation. That was spread far and wide across the internet and across the media sphere. It's important to remember that Joe Biden has not denied anything. Joe Biden has never said word one about any of this. Joe Biden has never been asked. No statement from the Biden campaign has been issued in his name. No question has been brought to his attention during any of his chats, including the town hall he held yesterday on, ironically enough, women's issues. Isn't that something? So as the media wads its panties and inserts them far up their own cracks over the fact that the vice president was not wearing a mask while he toured the Mayo Clinic yesterday, and they burned up the Twitter sphere about that. Note that they aren't talking about Tara Reid. They'll tweet about masks. They won't tweet about the mask that Joe Biden may well have been wearing his whole adult life. Ironic, you think? Speaking of irony, Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton Jr. III has come out and endorsed Joe Biden because nobody knows how to defend sexual predators like Hillary Clinton. I want you to listen to this. This is Joe Biden introducing Hillary yesterday in their video chat. Tell me if human beings you know talk like this. And if you know human beings who talk like this, might I suggest you avoid them in any way? These two people, they can't really like each other all that much because the Hatfields and McCoys get along better. The Israelis and the Palestinians have more warmth in their discussions, in their exchanges, than this introduction by Joe Biden and the acceptance of the warm welcome, in quotes, from Hillary Clinton. Listen to this exchange.
And I'm really thrilled to have my friend, the former senator and former secretary of state and the woman who should be president of the United States right now, Hillary Clinton. Welcome, Hillary. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's a real pleasure to be here with you.
Welcome, Hillary. It's great to have you here. What are did the here stick at the bottom of the teleprompter screen? It's wonderful to have you here. Thank you, Joe. It is wonderful to be with you. Yeah, you're in Delaware, I'm in Chappaqua. Bill's off at some whorehouse somewhere, so don't worry, we won't be interrupted by him. They're gonna have to try and sneak Bill back into the house so that he can do a separate I support Joe Biden introduction, which the irony of which will just blow up all irony meters across the country and around the globe, really. But yeah, that was one of the warmest moments from Hillary's endorsement video chat with Joe Biden. Who was Joe aware of what was going on? It's almost like an episode of This Is Your Life, and you'll never guess who we've got next. Just keep reading the teleprompter, and you'll find out. They continued. Hillary officially endorsed Joe, of course. Like, Joe, I really appreciate the way that you sexually harass women and you sexually assault them. You didn't finish the job like Bill did with Juanita Broderick, but hey, you know what? Once you get back in that White House, maybe you can do it. And then Hillary comes in and sort of gives away the Democrats' playbook. She's talking about coronavirus, of course, and she warns Joe. She shows her hope for Joe and Democrats that they not let this crisis go to waste. She hopes that they can use this pandemic and this economic calamity to remake this country. I kid you not. Here is Hillary saying just that.
And then it needs to be part of a much larger system that eventually and quickly, I hope, gets us to universal health care. So I can only say amen to everything you're saying, but also to, again, enlist people that this would be a terrible crisis to waste, as the old saying goes. We've learned a lot about what our absolute frailties are in our country when it comes to health justice and economic justice. So, you know, let's be resolved that we're going to solve those once you're elected president.
Isn't that lovely? I'd hate to see this crisis go to waste. I'd hate to see, you know, 60,000 deaths go to waste. Because, you know, when you amass that kind of death, You should really be able to exploit the hell out of it, Joe. So I hope you're assembling a team of narcissistic sociopaths who are ready and willing and able to dance a jig on every single one of those graves tirelessly until they're able to change policies that had absolutely nothing to do with what happened to them to benefit what you and I desperately want. She's calling for universal health care. She's calling for socialized medicine. She's calling for some kind of government-run single-payer health care plan. How? What? And this is the question that should be asked of these two monsters and any other monster who would use this to exploit and try and implement their agenda. How would it have been different had it been a socialized single-payer medicine scheme? Italy, the hardest hit country, single payer. Spain, the second hardest hit country, single payer. The UK, getting hammered, they've got single payer. In the United States, no one has to pay for jack related to COVID-19. So how would it be different? There is literally nothing stopping anybody or throughout this entire thing from seeking medical care. Nothing. The federal government and insurance companies struck a deal. No one has to pay for testing. No one has to pay for care. You don't even have to pay a copay. It'll literally cost you nothing. How would it have been different? It, of course, wouldn't have been different. But Democrats don't really see this as a tragedy. They see this as an opportunity. You cannot let this good crisis go to waste, damn it. They know that the American people will be out there. They know that the Democratic Party can find somebody whose insurance company didn't agree to waiving all fees and allowing any sort of treatment. They'll find somebody who got a bill. They'll find somebody who did something, and they'll trot them out or their survivors out, because Democrats aren't picky, or their survivors out to say, well, it was a horrible situation and it should have never happened. Or they'll find somebody who says, I didn't go to the hospital because I didn't have insurance and I couldn't afford X, Y, or Z, so I stayed home and I nearly died. Or they'll find some survivors of somebody who they didn't go because they couldn't afford it, they didn't have insurance, and they died. And they will present that as a norm, the norm. It will be a bald-faced lie. But then again, you're dealing with people who lie for a living. Hillary Clinton, I think Hillary Clinton's ever said to herself in the middle of a discussion of something they wanted to use to their political advantage, you think the words ever came out of Hillary's mouth of, should we be doing this? Is it right that we're doing this? Isn't this a little bit exploitative? Hell no. They're usually her ideas. She wouldn't. And Joe Biden, do you think he even understands what those words mean at this point? You think he would have been stopped by it? This is a guy who told a predominantly black audience in South Carolina that Republicans want to put y'all back in chains. Do you really think he's riddled with scruples that will haunt his dreams at night, and so he just couldn't possibly bring himself to do something? Hell no. These people are opportunists to the nth degree, and if they have to dance a jig at a funeral to win, they will win. If they have to encourage people to be released from prison in order to win, to get their voting rights restored, they will do it. If they have to go mailbox by mailbox and steal mail-in ballots from people to win, they will do it. They are bad, bad people. In Joe Biden's case, he's just crazy. He's lost his damn mind. Now we get to Joe Biden's mind, or what is left of it. The day before yesterday, Joe Biden's been appearing on a lot of things. He did an interview with a local TV station down in Miami. And of course, that worthless anchor didn't bother to ask about Tara Reid either. It's amazing to me how there's no journalist in the country. Maybe they recognize it if you're the one who breaks the hymen on this question. If you pop the cork on this question, you'll never really work again in this industry, so you can't do it. So Joe Biden is trying to string together a word salad about what he would do for the economy and the world. And I want you to listen to a very particular phrase that he uses. I've never heard it. I've heard a lot of economists talk. I've heard a lot of people talk about trade and the economy. I've never heard this particular phrase come out of anybody's mouth before. Here is your presumptive Democratic nominee talking about economic intercourse.
I would get much more engaged in the world. We can't step back. If, in fact, for example, we solve the problem in the United States of America and you don't solve it in other parts of the world, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have travel bans. You're going to not be able to have economic intercourse around the world. There's a lot. Look, when America goes alone, when America is first, it's America alone.
Economic intercourse. And when America goes it alone, America is... it's called leadership, Joe. When America goes first, America goes... That's leadership. You have to, as a leader, be willing to go first. You can do the Barack Obama model, I suppose, leading from behind. You guys go do stuff. If it's good, I'll say I was involved. If it's bad, I'll say I wasn't in town that month. Maybe that's what Joe Biden's talking about. But have you ever heard the phrase economic intercourse? Because if Democrats win in the fall, we're all economically intercoursed. And in every other way, we are completely intercoursed. I've never heard that. You know, it's like economic intercourse. What in the hell? And you can tell Joe is struggling. It was a semi-coherent sentence. And, you know, that's about as much as you can hope for from Joe Biden these days. In that interview with the Miami TV station, where the brave anchor didn't bother to bring up Joe Biden's allegations of sexual assault, and Tara Reid calls it rape, and there's an argument to be made. Actually, I think criminally, that's what he would be charged with. The reporter didn't bring that up. He did bring up China and whether or not China should be punished for unleashing this and lying about coronavirus to the world, and whether or not Joe Biden could credibly lead that case if... Because of his son, Hunter, and his own past with China. People seem to forget that while Joe Biden was vice president in 2015, I think it was, he took his young son. He was going over to Beijing to meet with the Chinese government. He took his young son with him to show him the ropes, to show him the world. Because how many children get a chance to travel with their dear old dad on a diplomatic mission to the most populous country in the world? Not many. Of course, Hunter Biden was in his late 30s, early 40s at the time, and came along looking to stir up business for himself and ended up landing $1.2 billion of Chinese communist money to invest in his new firm that he had no expertise in. Hunter Biden is a hell of a guy. He must be a hell of a salesman. He should just sell cars and real estate. So I think he could sell anybody anything if he's able to come out with $1.2 billion from China. To here, go ahead, start your hedge fund or whatever the hell it is. Take this $1.2 billion and good luck to you. Go and invest. Of course, in the grand scheme of things, $1.2 billion to China is like $1 million to Jeff Bezos. They're not going to miss it. And for $1.2 billion to have ingratiated yourself to the vice president of the United States, somebody who probably wants to be president of the United States, why not do it? It's a bet worth taking. There's no real downside to it. So, yeah, shady. Chinese communists give Joe Biden's kid $1.2 billion to do something he's never done before. And we're all supposed to pretend that that's on the up and up, that Hunter Biden, with a history of drug problems, a history of infidelity, just a total scumbag of a human being, a guy so dumb he left his crack pipe on the passenger seat of his rental car. That guy, the Chinese go, yeah, you know what? We have faith in you. Here's $1.2 billion. Well, Joe was asked about that. And it's amazing to me how unprepared for obvious questions Joe Biden is. And a question like this, a good campaign staff would have something teed up, a canned answer that Joe just recites and moves on. because you know this question's going to be asked. And that's why I think they can't come up with a good one for Tara Reid, so they're avoiding it altogether because God knows what Joe will say. Listen to what Joe says here in response to a question about Hunter. See if you can make sense of it, because it is garble. It literally is garble. Listen to this.
Well, one of the issues is going to be China. That's one of the reasons why the president cited for pulling out of the World Health Organization. China is likely to become a major issue in this election, in part because of the coronavirus. I think you've been critical of the way the administration handled China. The administration has been critical of the way you were, when you were vice president, were dealing with China. I guess I want to ask you, do you think that this is going to, in fact, be a major issue? And are you vulnerable on this issue at all because of your son's business dealings in China?
No, I don't believe so at all. My son's business dealings were not anything with everybody that he's talking about, not even remotely, number one. Nothing to do with me, number two.
Do you have any idea what in the hell he's trying to say there? First, let's take the second point first. Secondly, it had nothing to do with me. He flew over there on a government jet on Air Force Two with you as part of your delegation doing official government business, and then landed a $1.2 billion contract off of that trip. If that has nothing to do with you, I'll happily have nothing to do with you, Joe. Happily, for half that. Just $600 million. I'll never have anything to do with you ever again. We can call it even. The first part of his answer, I'm going to read what he said because I honestly don't know what in the hell any of these words together mean used in this way, and see if you can figure it out. Quote, "No, I don't believe so at all. My son's business dealings were not anything where anybody, what he's talking about, not even remotely, number one." I'm going to read that again because all of those words are in English, just put together in the way that they are. They don't form an English sentence. "No, I don't believe so at all. My son's business dealings were not anything where anybody, what he's talking about, not even remotely, number one." Then he goes on to say, "Nothing to do with me, number two," which I've already addressed. Number one, well, his number one is a steaming pile of number two. Can we just be honest about this? What in the hell is he talking about? Your son landed a $1.2 billion contract with the Chi-Coms, Joe, explicitly because he was your son. The same reason he got that sweetheart deal out of Ukraine. The same reason he's probably not sitting in a prison cell somewhere or didn't spend a good chunk of his life sitting in a prison cell somewhere. It's because he's your son. The same reason he sat on the Amtrak board of directors. He's not a conductor. He probably rarely rode the train. But Daddy did, and Daddy secured billions of dollars for Amtrak throughout his Senate career. So Amtrak says, we gotta pay you back, Joe. What can we do? Can we give you a suitcase full of money? And Joe said, no, that probably wouldn't work out very well. I got an idea. Why don't you hire my idiot son? Put him on your board. That way he doesn't have any real responsibilities, and he gets a nice big chunk of the money that I secure for you guys every year. That'll be the kickback, and I'll, you know, get paid off that way. How does that sound? That seems to be the Biden way. You take care of my family members, I'll remain claiming, still be able to claim that I am incredibly poor, middle class Joe, and we'll all live in really nice houses, and we'll pretend that everything's on the up and up. This is the Democratic Party. This is the Democratic presumptive nominee. This is Joe Biden. This is progressivism in action. You let a guy, I wouldn't let a guy in my house who says a sentence like, no, I don't believe so at all. My son's business dealings were not anything where anybody, what he's talking about, not even remotely, number one. Unless they're doing a drunken Captain Picard impression, that sentence makes no sense. And then, even then, the drunken Captain Picard impression, only barely. That is all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed this little, I can't call it a deep dive into Joe Biden because it's a very shallow pool. So this shallow little trickle, this walk, this traipse through muddy puddles of Joe Biden's mind. There's something wrong with that guy. A lot wrong with that guy, it turns out. And the more people look, the weirder and creepier and more disgusting and more disturbed and more senile it gets. But tomorrow is another day, and he'll probably be back ranting, rambling, raving, being Joe Biden. Hopefully they stocked up on adult diapers there. Anyway, you can email me, Derek@DailyCaller.com, if you want to complain about my senility jokes, but I might not remember to reply to it. Otherwise, have a great Wednesday. Not that it matters that it's Wednesday, and we'll be back here on Thursday. See you then. Thank you.
You're going to not be able to have economic intercourse around the world.